Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We'll read verses 28 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 8, verses 28 through 32. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And let's finish on verse 32 together. Ready? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You have blessed us so much. We look around and see all the people here and the opportunity to help so many. What a blessing. Father, you've given us so many things. Especially, you've given us a preacher, a man of God, someone who has walked closely with you this week to give us what we need. Father, please, may we listen intently. May we get what we need so that we can help others and change our lives today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, one verse has attracted my attention. I'll use that verse to carry me all the way through to the end of this sermon. John chapter 8, verse number 32, and it says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll ask you to do me a favor. If you have a cell phone on, a beeper on, you make sure you turn that thing off. Nothing is more important than what goes on here in the next 35 or 40 minutes. I want you to sit still. Young people, I want you to pay attention this way. Do not require me to correct you during the preaching. You listen very carefully. I believe that God wants to help us to know a little something about this verse. And I will take the next 35 minutes to talk to you about that verse. All by itself. It was a sunny day, yet it was a cool day, much like a day here in October. An old man had found a park bench as he had strolled through a park. He decided that he would sit down on that park bench and rest his weary bones. Birds were landing near him. That because that park bench was traditionally one from which they would feed the birds, and people would get seed and corn and throw it out. And so birds were flying around that little park bench, and the old man sat down and decided to rest for a little while. He would doze off, and then he would catch himself, and then he would hear the children in the background playing. He noticed some distance up a field. He could see a particular young man, a teenage boy it seemed, chasing after the birds and frolicking with the birds. And slowly but surely that teenage boy was making his way toward the old man that was sitting on the park bench. The fella fell asleep. And then he woke up. He was startled. As he woke up, there was that teenage boy that he had seen chasing the birds. And that teenage boy was almost right up in the old man's face. And the young man was just staring into the eyes of this senior citizen sitting on a park bench. And the young man had his hands clasped together like this. And with his hands held together, the young man said, Hey! Hey, old man! Hey, wise old man, I have a question for you, wise old man. I have in my hands a bird. In my hands I have a bird. Tell me, old man, is the bird dead or is the bird alive? Hey, wise old gray-haired man, is the bird I have in my hands dead or is the bird alive? The old man began to stand to his feet, but the young man just kind of pushed him back into that park bench, and the young man repeated his question. He said, Hey, old man, tell me something. Is the bird dead or is the bird alive? It became very quiet in that park. The birds seemed to stop their singing. The children frolicking in the background faded from ears view, if you will. Couldn't hear them anymore.
The heavens seemed to silence, as if all creation wanted to listen to the answer that the man would give to this young boy. "Hey, old man, I have a bird in my hand. Is the bird dead? Or is the bird alive?" As quiet as it could be, the old man said, "It is as you will, young man. It is as you will." "Ha! What kind of answer is that? Old man, it is as you will. Hey, old man, is the bird dead or is the bird alive?" The old man again said, "It is as you will." "Well, what do you, come on, old man. What do you mean? It is as I will." And the old man said, "Young man, if I say to you that the bird is dead, you will let it go free and let it fly away. But young man, if I say the bird is alive, you'll take your hands and crush it, and you'll drop the dead bird at my feet. So young man, it is as you will." The wise old man's answer so startled the young man that he dropped his hands, the bird flew into the distance, and he sat down on that park bench by that old man and just listened to him talk for a little while. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this microphone. Let me ask you a question today. What is it that you have in your hands there, church attender? I can tell you what you have in your hands there. You have your life in your hands. What do you have in your hands there, young man? I can tell you what you have. You have your future. What do you have in your hands there, young married couple? Oh, the possibility of a wonderful marriage. What do you have in your hands there? Oh, you have your life. You have your future. You have maybe your children's future. What do you have in your hands there? Let me say to all of you today, you have in your hands a lot of wonderful things that your God has made available to you. But the question is, will it be dead? Or will it be alive? And the answer is this. It is as you will. It is as you will. What do you have in your hand there, congregation? Your answer is, I have in my hands my life. Well, let me ask you about your life. What is your life going to be dead, or is your life going to be alive? And God would have to say back to you, it will be as you will. As you will. It is a very scary thing to every young person in a special way. Listen to me as I speak to you today. But it's a scary thing when we're rearing our children. Because the older our children get, the more independent they're able to become. And there comes a certain point in their life when they have the abilities to do the kinds of things that they want to do. They can do what they want. I mean, when a child grows up and they move out of your home, it's a scary thing because they're going to do what they want. That's what it'll boil down to. They'll do what they want. And you, some of you parents have been there. You've reared your kids. And the older they became, the more independent they became, the more they began to do their own thing or do what they thought was right. Of course, we're hoping they'll do what God thinks is right, but they have that ability to launch out and do what they will. And I say to every young person in this auditorium today, what do you have in your hand there? And your answer back to me is, Brother Owens, I have my life in my hand. Well, is it dead or will it be alive? And the answer is, young person, it will be what you do with it. Right. It is as you will. But not only that. May I say to you, not only do we fear as our children grow up what they'll do with their life, but wait, you have a heavenly Father. We have a heavenly Father, and I think He looks down and He says, hey, congregation, what do you have in your hands there? You can look back and say, God, I have the life that you gave me. And God says, is it dead or is it alive? And the answer is, it is as you will. It is as you will. Do you know something, folks? We have a powerful God. He is a mighty God. Our God's a big God. He's a strong God. He's a powerful God. But I have to tell you something. God's not going to make you do anything. God is going to allow you to do what you want to do. God wants you to serve Him, and that's what God wants, and that's what God commands, and that's what God expects. But everybody here already knows He doesn't make you do it. He doesn't make you do it. And sometimes we're expecting God to step into our lives and do it all for us. He's not going to do that, my friend. He gives you the wherewithal to do what you ought to do and to become what you ought to become and make of yourself what you ought to make of yourself. But God is not responsible. You are. He gave you that life. What do you have in your hand there, congregation? Your life. Will you crush it? Will you let it live? Will you make something good of your life? Or will you destroy it? Well, what's the determining factor? Well, it will be as you will. I want you to deal the will, to do the will of God for your life. That's how you'll let your life live. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. And if you'll do what God's Word tells you to do, you will be free to have a victorious Christian life. But if you reject that book, you will crush the life that God gave you. You'll destroy the life that God gave you. When you don't live according to the Bible, you are crushing the very life and the dreams and the things that God wanted you to have for your life and in your life. What do you have in your hand there, Christian? I have my life, Brother Owens. Well, is it dead or is it alive? The answer is, it is as you will. It is as you will. I invite you to have a seat by me today on a park bench. I invite you to hear me out about your life and what you're going to do with it. Will you crush your life? Will you crush what God has for you? Will you let it be free? Will you live it according to the Word of God? Will you live your life in the freedom of Jesus Christ? When the Bible talks about, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, doesn't mean you live a free lifestyle and do anything you want. It means that you will be free to live within the blessing of God, and you'll have God will be honored with what you do. Hey, for instance, what do you have in your hand there, congregation? Well, you have a church service. Which one? This one. You hold in your hands the success of this church service for your life, or the waste of a church service. What do you have in your hand there? A church service. What are you going to do with it? Will you crush this church service? You say, Brother Owens, how would I crush this church service? I'll tell you how. You came to church this morning with a negative attitude. You didn't come to church this morning to hear what God has for you. You didn't come to church this morning to let God change you. You didn't come to church this morning with your heart prepared for God. You didn't come to church this morning saying, oh God, speak to my heart, speak to my life, change me, help me to get the sin out of my life. You came to church with a bad attitude. You came to church with that negative attitude. You came to church to criticize. There's somebody in this building that'll spend their entire time saying, I just think this people under construction thing, I think that's juvenile. Well, you know, you might want to put that aside for a little while and let's just talk about some other things. Oh, but what you do, you'll crush the life out of this church service and you'll kill its influence in your life unless you decide, I'm here for a reason. God brought me here today not to entertain me, but to change me and to challenge my life. Somebody here today had a pre-planned attitude of rejection. Now, you do that to all the church services. You're not going to change. You're just doing your civic duty. You need to go to church somewhere. Might as well go down there. That's not how you get the most out of a church service. You're not going to pay attention. You know what you're going to do? You're going to fiddle with an ink pen and goof off all the time I preach today and crush the life out of the influence of this sermon. You're going to play around, or you're going to talk, or you're going to goof off and laugh with your husband or wife during this thing instead of actually listen. I'm for you laughing when we're all laughing. But I'll tell you what, God did not bring church services and preaching along so we were just entertained for a little while. It's not just to kill a couple hours on Sunday morning. It's to change our lives. If you're not careful, you're going to spend your church service this morning preoccupied. You put a roast in this morning, and you're worried, did I turn the oven on? Because there's nothing like going home, and when you walk in, that old oven's already kicked off, and the roast is done, and you can smell those carrots, and those potatoes, and a little bit of garlic in there, you know, and that celery, and you're saying, you walk in, and you go, oh, baby, that smells good. And you're panicked right now because you're saying, did I or did I not turn the oven on? Now, let me tell you something. Just forget about it. That'll be hard to forget about, I realize. But you need to forget about it. Why? Because God wants to do something today. He wants you to experience the freedom that God's Word makes available. But if you're not careful, it is as you will. You may crush this service by the attitude in which you listen or that you use to listen with, or you can let it go free and have victory in your life. Allow God to work on you. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict you. Don't sit there. And this is what I worry about for some of you been in church for a while. Heard it before, not going to move me, heard it before. You know what you're doing? You're taking the sermon that God wanted to use to change your life, and you're crushing it. You're dropping it at your feet. Let that thing live. Hey, you let that thing go free. You let God speak to your heart during the church service today. Hey, what do you have in your hand there today, congregation? You say, I have this morning's preaching service. Will it be dead or will it be alive? It is as you will. It is as you will. I ask you, what do you have in your hand there, congregation? The answer is, I have my mind. I have the mind that God has given me. Well, let me recommend something to you. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You better be careful with your mind. You hold in your hands the ability to crush and destroy the mind that God has given you. Or you can let it be free, obey the Word of God, and become successful in your thinking. What do you have in your hand? It's your mind. Don't waste your mind. Don't waste your mind. You young people, you look up here at Brother Owens. Girls, look up here. Look like this way. You finish school. You finish school. You say, well, it's hard. Then you do what's hard. But you finish school. Don't you quit school. Don't you drop out of school. And every one of you young people that are going to school, you study, and you study hard, and you get some good grades. You say, oh, great, Brother Owens. I get this at home. Well, good. You're getting it at church, too. You work hard. Now, maybe not everybody's all A students. I understand that. But everybody ought to give their best. And God gave you a mind. And God gave you an ability to think. Now, don't you waste that mind. What do you have in your hand there? You have your mind. What are you going to do with it? Is it dead or is it alive? Will you crush it or will you let it live and be successful and victorious for God? Folks, you better watch what you put in your mind. We put so much junk in our minds. You can buy wicked books all over the place, and you start cramming all that wicked junk into your mind. All the junk that you cram in your mind from the television, and all the junk from DVDs and videos that you can get, and you keep cramming it in your mind. You are slowly but surely crushing the purity of your mind. You're ruining the way you think, and you're crushing the life out of your mind. Watch the music you listen to. Wrong kind of music will destroy your mind. It'll make you think in a perverted way and act in a perverted way and behave in a wrong and a wicked way. Watch what you put in your mind. Hey, what do you have in your hand there, Christian? Just like that old man said to the young man, it is as you will. I'll guarantee your heavenly Father looks down and says, I gave you a mind and you are crushing it with your behavior. You're crushing it with what you're putting into it. I was preaching down south in the state of Kentucky. And while there, I walked into a nursing home. Every once in a while when I go out preaching, I'll ask if there's a local nursing home so I can go and visit. I went in to visit a nursing home. When I walked in, there was a teenage boy in a wheelchair in the nursing home. It was an odd sight to me. I expected to see older people there. This boy, I asked, they said he's 13 or 14 years of age. I couldn't believe it. And I somebody began to tell me this story. I have to tell you, I'm not trying to be inappropriate. That boy sat in that chair, and they had him strapped in the chair, and he just leaned. And as he leaned there, he was drooling out of one side of his mouth. The spit from that drool had ran down his face, and there's a big puddle of drool on a little desktop of his wheelchair, one that had a desktop on it. And he was drooling and just hanging there, grunting and making noises, strapped in the wheelchair. The pastor said to me, that young man got with the wrong crowd at school. And he got into some drugs and he burned his brain away partying with his friends. This is where he lives. They diaper him. They spoon feed him. He doesn't chew well. They tip his head back and the applesauce and things that have been pure reed will slide down his throat to keep him alive. He just sits there and drools all day long. God looked down at that boy one day and said, son, what do you have in your hand there? He said, I have a mind. God said, son, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to give it to me? Are you going to let me use you and put my word in your mind and live right in your mind? Well, what are you going to do with it? The boy said, I'm going to do what I want with my mind. And he got into drugs, and before long, he had crushed the life out of his mind. And I say to you, what do you have in your hand there? You have your mind. You better be careful what you do with your mind, because you only get one. And once you destroy it, you don't have much to go on thereafter. Don't destroy your mind. Let God's Word into your mind and think God's way and do things God's way and put God's music in your mind and God's Word in your mind and God's morality in your mind. Some of you are crushing the victory right out of your mind. Is your mind, will what God has for you be dead or will it be alive? It is as you will. What are you going to do with it? I ask you this question. What do you have in your hand there, Christian? Oh, you have a body. A body that God has given you. Hey, will you let it live or will you crush it? What will you do with your body? And folks, God has given us a body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave us a body. We're supposed to take care of it so it can be used by God. All sorts of abuses today. I wish that we would learn that we are not to abuse our bodies. You find people today, they call them cutters. They cut themselves. That's wrong. That's wrong. You're not to abuse the body that God's given you. You only get one body. Don't misuse it. God gave you that body to carry around your mind. And your mind is to think His way, and your body is to go His way and do what He wants you to do with it. You were created by Almighty God. He did not give you a body to do with it what you please. You need to do what He thinks you ought to do with your body. That means on Sundays you ought to have your body in church. That's where God intended your body to be. That's where God intended your mind to be. In church. You only get one body, and let's be careful that we take care of it so it is usable by God. I was soul winning in a city called East Chicago, Indiana. I met a young man. That young man, as I began to get to know him, I could not believe the stories that he could tell. He had gotten himself in with the wrong crowd of people, and you're going to find out. Most of the time, it's the wrong crowd of people that will get you into trouble. And you get in church where the right crowd of people hang around. This young man told about how he began to take pills, and before long he ended up carrying a gun around with him, and before long he had himself so messed up that he had people that were upset with him about the drugs that he had become involved in, and carrying a gun around with him. He'd been in trouble with the police, and he was drinking and smoking dope, and his life was just a mess. He said, I was in such a mess, Brother Owens. He said, I got high one night and I was so high I just decided I wanted to end it all. He said, I couldn't find anything to end it all with. He said, I don't get it. I couldn't find anything. He said, I went out in the garage. I got my daddy's hacksaw. And he said, I was going to cut my wrist and cut my hand all the way off. He said, seeing the scars. He cut all the way through one wrist, and it was high enough on something that had him half freaked out. He was able to take that hacksaw and cut his other wrist. Now you listen to me. You better keep yourself close to God, because your body was not given to you to abuse like that. It is not your right to take your life. It is His right. And if He has chosen not to take your life, that means He wants you alive, and He wants your mind pure, and He wants to do something with your life. I don't know who you are today, but you hold in your hand a life, and that is a God-given life. God gave it to you. And you could know the truth, and the truth could make you free. You don't have to die. Don't crush your mind. Don't crush your body. Don't crush your life. Let God have it. Let God have your life. Let God have your mind. Let God have your body. Use your body for God. Show up at church. Use your body to serve God. That's why He gave it to you. Hey, use your body. Get involved around the church here and come and help us to cut the grass around the church. You're supposed to cut it, not smoke it. Cut the grass. Don't cut yourself. Hey, what do you have in your hand there? Hey, old man. Hey, old man. I have a bird in my hands. Is the bird dead or is the bird alive? And the old man said, it is as you will. And you're all going to have to face the responsibility, the life that God has given you. If you would like to serve God, if you'd like to turn your life around, if you'd like victory in your life, it is doable. God is ready. He wants to help you. But it is as you will. It is as you will. What do you have in your hand there, Christian? What do you have in your hand there, visitor? What do you have in your hand there, young man? What do you have in your hand there, young couple? We have our future. And indeed you do. You have your future. You have the rest of your life. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to crush the life out of the dreams that God has for you? Are you going to destroy the rest of your life? Now for some of you, you've destroyed a bunch of the past. Why don't you wake up? Why don't you wake up and say, you know something, Brother Owens, I think God brought me here today because I've done enough bad in my past. I need to turn things around, and I need to make something of myself and let God use me and do what He pleases with my life. But your future is in your hands. And I say this often. If you're still sucking air, that means God still has a purpose for you. If you're in this building today, and you're listening to this sermon, or you're out there and you're going to hear it on the internet, or you're going to hear it on CD or tape or on the radio somewhere someday, let me tell you something. If you're hearing me preach this sermon, you're still alive. God still has His eye on you. God has a plan for your life. It's not an uh-oh or an accident that you're here. God brought you here specifically, and He wants you to hear this sermon because He has something for you. And you need to realize, now, it's up to you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to crush the life out of God's dreams for you? Are you going to crush the life out of the victories that God has for you? Are you going to let the bird free and let God bring freedom into your life and let the Word of God change you and make you into a victorious Christian? What do you have in your hand there? It's your future. The truth from the Bible that you've been taught will keep your life free and alive. What happens to your future? Most of it's up to you. God will take you as far as you're willing to go. You want to be spiritual? God says, come on. Come on. He said, Brother Owens, I need to conquer some bad things in my life. You have a God that wants to help you conquer it. It is not God that fails you, it's you that fail God. God is willing to help you to do whatever you ought to do for Him. What are you going to do about it? What happens to your future? It's in your hands. What happens? Hey, you husbands and wives, there are some of you, I know you walked into church this morning, and you walked in and you were smiling, and you were acting like everything was okay, but the truth of the matter is, you live in hell at home. You don't get along. You're using the D word. Divorce. You ready to throw in the towel? You ready to quit? I've got news for you. What do you have in your hand there? It is your marriage. Now what are you going to do with it? You going to crush it or you going to give it to God? If there's some married couple in here today, in a little while we'll give an invitation, you need to walk yourself down this aisle, get on your knees and say, God, we're going to do it the Bible way. We're going to get right with God. We're going to turn our family around. We are not going to crush the life out of our marriage. We're going to let it be free and live in the freedom of the Word of God. You've got everybody fooled. Well, you probably don't have your kids fooled. They hear it. They know. There's somebody here today, the future of your marriage is hanging in the balances, probably with one sermon. God brought you here. He wanted to wake you up. He wanted you to realize He has something for your marriage. If you get yourself in the Bible, get yourself into church, get yourself under the preaching of the Word of God, you can breathe life back into that marriage that is slowly dying and beginning to smell of death. You need to let that marriage be free in the will of God. Some of you better wake up and realize those children that God gave you, He didn't give them to you so they could run wild, do what they want, go where they want, run with who they want, listen to what they want, read what they want, play what they want. God gave every one of us our children to rear for God. When you let them run wild and do what they want, you say, well, I don't know what to do with them. Well, that book knows what to do with them. The church knows what to do with them. The Christian school knows what to do with them. Do something about it. Don't crush the life out of your responsibility of being parents. Get your children under the influence of the gospel. Get your children under the influence of the preaching. Get your children somewhere where the preacher will stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong. Instead of some preacher that's mamby-pamby that pats everybody on the head and rubs them on the belly and says, go to the church of your choice. You're not to go to the church of your choice. You go to the church that preaches that Bible and preaches the truth and stands on it. What do you have in your hand there? I have the future of my children in my hands. What do you have in your hand there? I have the future of my marriage in my hand. Marriages that ignore the Word of God, marriages that ignore the preaching of the Word of God, they end up killing themselves. It's death. They crush the life, crush the happiness, crush the success right out of their life. Hey, is your marriage dead or is your marriage alive? I'll tell you what the difference is. It will be alive if you'll do what the truth says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Live your marriage according to the Bible. Show up where the Bible's preaching. We can save your marriage. Amen. Somebody will walk out of here and ignore everything I say, and one day in the divorce court, you'll remember a fella telling you a story about a bird. You'll say, I crushed the life right out of this thing. What do you have in your hand there? You have your future. What future do you have? You have the future of your marriage. You have the future of your children. You have the future of your spirituality. And I said this earlier. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You tell me, you think God's hiding from you? I am sorry, my friend. He is not. It is not God that steps away from you. It is you that steps away from God. Say, Brother Owens, I would like to be spiritually successful. I truly would like to be a good Christian. I truly would like to be godly. I truly would like to be holy. I truly would like it if I were like God and I was an example unto the believers. All right, then do it. Now then do it. Because God is not stopping you. What do you have in your hand there? You have your spirituality. Will you crush it or will you let it live? I'll tell you, it is as you will. It is as you will. Someone said the world has not yet seen what God could do with a human being that would totally surrender themselves to God. And I do not believe the world has yet seen that. You take the greatest Christians of all the ages. Whether it's a J. Frank Norris, a John Rice, a Jack Hiles, you take all the way back to the Apostle Paul and Abraham and Isaac. You go all the way back. Still, there has been no person that used up all the availability of what God could use them to do. Nobody has. Nobody has gone all the way with God. And it is not God's fault. It is my fault. It is your fault. And if you want to be spiritual, you can be spiritual. It is as you will. It is as you will. Your future happiness is in His hands. and it's in your hands. Make your future one with God. Don't crush the victory out of your life. Let it live. Let the Bible influence you. Be in church. Do what God said. Do what the Bible says. Do what the preaching says. Why? God wants you a success. But your Heavenly Father, He can't make you do it. He doesn't make you do it. He gives you the option to choose to do it. Other people's investments are in your hand. You know, there are a lot of people that have invested in some of you. Think about it. A lot of people have invested in you. What do you have in your hand there, congregation? You have the investment of many people wrapped up in you. Lots of people wanted you to make it. Lots of people wanted you to succeed. Lots of people invested in you. What are you going to do with that investment? You're going to crush your life out of it? Or are you going to let the Word of God make you an investment worthy and a good investment? A lot of people have trained you. And in that training, you were given enough training to be a success. Speaking of training, a well-trained young ventriloquist was touring America and stopped to entertain at a church. He's going through his usual run of stupid blonde jokes when a blonde woman in the fourth pew stands and says, "I've heard just about enough of your degrading blonde jokes, buddy. What makes you think that you can stereotype women that way? What does a person's physical attributes have to do with their worth as a human being? It's guys like you who keep women like me from being respected in the community and reaching my full potential as a person. And because of your constant discrimination against all blondes and women, it's no good, all in the name of humor." Well, the ventriloquist became very frustrated. He began to apologize when the blonde says to him, "Hey, you, mister, you stay out of this. I'm talking to that little jerk on your knee." A well-trained ventriloquist. Folks, we all hold in our hands the sum total of what everybody else has invested in us. Your parents have invested in you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Mom and Dad have tried to train you and help you to become a success. What are you going to do with it? You going to crush the life out of it? Are you going to let the Bible that will make you free for victory and free for a successful life, are you going to let that Bible determine what dividends your parents get to reap because of you? People have given to you and sacrificed for you. Are you going to crush their hearts? Your Sunday school teachers, there are people in this church, Sunday school teachers, have taught you and loved you and invested in you. Now what are you going to do about it? You're going to crush it? You're going to let it live and have a victorious Christian life because you obey the Bible? Many people in here, not just myself, but other pastors, Brother Smith and others, pastors have invested in you and taught you and trained you and loved you. Now what are you going to do with it? You're going to crush the life out of it by going your own way, doing your own thing? Or are you going to let the investment of other people live and sprout up and bring forth a great positive harvest? You've had youth directors that have invested in you. Are you going to crush it? You're going to let it die? God has invested tremendously in you. What are you going to do about it? There are no self-made people. When you decide to throw your mind away, or your body away, or your future away, or your marriage away, or your children away, I've got news for you. You're not just throwing away something of yours. You're throwing away the investment of every single person that ever touched your life. Every kindergarten teacher, and first grade teacher, and second grade teacher, and third grade teacher, and fourth grade teacher, and fifth grade teacher, and sixth grade teacher, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth, and 11th, and 12th, and every Sunday school teacher, and every bus captain, every Sunday of every week, and every Wednesday night, and every Sunday night, and every sermon that somebody invested in you. When you throw your life away, you're throwing away all of it, for all of us that invested in you. That means you ought to wake up and realize, this is not my life to waste. I'm not to waste it. I'm not going to crush it. I'm going to let their investment live. I'm going to let it live. I'm going to let it live. The loved ones that have invested in you, hey, what do you have in your hand there? Hate to tell you, folks, but we have our country in our hands. America. America. And if churches don't rise up and decide to stop playing religion and get serious, America's going to go down the tubes. America, the home of the free and the land of the brave, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We have the freedom of religion in America, which means we can come to church. So how do you express that freedom? You stay home or you go play golf instead of come to church on Sunday. You know what you're doing? You're crushing our country. The heritage of one nation under God. Will you let freedom ring? Give me liberty or give me death, said Patrick Henry. We ought to let God live in our churches and live in our country. This is one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. America will not be destroyed from without. I'm not worried about Saddam Hussein's. I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden's. I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about Christians in America that have the freedom to go to church and have the freedom to live right and the freedom to be holy, and they won't do it. You won't destroy our country from the outside. It'll be destroyed from the inside as we take what God has given us and we crush it. We crush it. Hey, what's in your hand there? I'll tell you what's in your hand. Your soul. Your soul. Your eternal destiny is in your hands. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have freedom and heaven someday? Or will you crush your soul by rejecting Jesus Christ and die and go to hell someday? The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Your heaven or hell is as you will. If you want to go to heaven, you can. It's up to you. If you want to go to hell, you can. It's up to you. Listen to this verse. In John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, and 29, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, when you look at God and say, hey, God, what do you have there in your hand? He says, I've got Jeff Owens in my hand. And you want to know something? I'm safe in the hand of God. I have life in the hand of God. I've trusted Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I have life, and I have it more abundantly. I've been saved from my sin. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a born-again Christian, and nobody can take me out of the safety of God's hand, not even myself. There are some of you, if you died this day, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You better be careful. Death is sure it's going to come. And you better make sure that before you die, you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then what does God do? When you trust Him, He puts you in His hand. He puts those strong fingers around you. He said, I'm going to keep you right there for safekeeping. You'll never be crushed. You'll never be destroyed. You'll never go to hell. I'm going to keep you. I saved you, and I'll keep you there. I thank God I'm in the hand of God. But if you have never been born again, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not in the hand of God. What are you going to do with your soul? What are you going to do with your eternity? If you will realize you're a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners and that sinners deserve to go to hell, He died for them. He was buried for them and resurrected for them. If you'll turn to Him and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of that sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to trust You to get me to heaven, not my good works, not anything I've done or anybody else has done. I'm trusting You as my Savior. At that very moment, you'll get born again. God will put you in His hand, and you will be eternally secure in the hand of God. And never, 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 never can you be crushed into eternity in that place called hell. But if you've never trusted Christ, you say, well, I got baptized once. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, Brother Owens, I do some good deeds. I'm glad you do. Congratulations. Good deeds won't get you to heaven. Oh, Brother Owens, when I was young, I took communion or I took catechism classes. And Brother Owens, does that care for? You must trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's the only way to heaven. If you've never done it, you need to do it today. Get yourself right in the hand of God and you'll never be crushed. Never be crushed. Thank God He's not in the crushing business. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. What do you have in your hand there? I've got a bird. And the young man said, tell me, old man, is it dead or is it alive? And the wise old man said, it is as you will. You have your soul in your hand today. And you know what's going to happen to it? Whatever you choose. You could get saved today and take care of it, or you could do nothing and just sit there and die and go to hell. You do nothing about it. Just leave your soul in the lost state that it's in, and you can die and go to hell. Say, what about my life? It is as you will. You want victory? Come to God. Get yourself in the Bible. Get yourself in church. God can give you victory, but it is as you will. People say, well, you know, I'd really like to have victory, but they won't show up where victory is available. I don't believe they want victory. You want victory? Get in the Bible. Get into church. You want to continue to flounder in your life? Watch it fall apart. Watch your marriages and your children and your finances and your dreams and all of that be crushed? Well, then ignore God. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed.